Accountants Are Sexy is back for another season, and this season we'll see our 100th episode. I want to take a moment to thank everyone that's helped so far. Every like, listen, subscribe, watch, all of it means the world to me. This season is sponsored by Charterpath. Charterpath is a charity designed to help the financial skills gap within nonprofits. I've recently joined their advisory board to help them on their mission to increase volunteering within the financial sector from only 10% to a very healthy 50%. If you want any more information on how you can be a part of this mission, then drop me a message or leave a comment or visit their website, charterpath.org. Now, are we ready to meet the guest? Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Accountants Are Sexy, Change My Mind. This time we have another guest from across the pond. We have Ben Rissa with us today from Provident Financial Services. And I'm pretty excited about this conversation, actually, because when we got in touch about this podcast, we realised that we share a similar mission. So I'm excited for you to give your perspective on this mission. So welcome to the show, Ben.
Thank you for having me, Kelly.
You're more than welcome. So what is the mission? If I say it, then you can give context around it. So you're a business owner with the purpose of strengthening American communities with thriving small businesses. What does that mean to you?
I believe that when businesses thrive, communities thrive. When businesses are able to create more jobs and increase their mission impact with their customers and with their employees, because a huge opportunity for mission impact is with your employees, the folks that you work with every day, giving them good paying jobs so that they can have a good work-life balance. That they can invest for their future, that they can fund, they can be generous with causes that they're passionate about, they can fund nonprofits that do other good things in the community. Here in the U.S., you know, small business is the majority employer. And so my mission is to facilitate their success by helping them see their blind spots on the accounting and finance side. As a lot of small business owners, they're great technicians. They know how to deliver value. But sometimes the accounting and finance side is either a bore or they just don't have time for it.
Yeah. Or just really confusing. I think that's got to be thrown into the melting pot as well. As I have said on this podcast 3 bazillion times, I'm not an accountant. I've never been an accountant, and I don't think I could ever be an accountant because my brain doesn't operate in the same way. It just doesn't retain the information, process the information, or organize the information in the same way. So I think, to me, accounting people are like on a pedestal because their brains work in a different way to mine. And I love that about them.
Yeah. And it is a very specific gift and kind of person. Yeah. But they're absolutely essential individuals to, I would just say, like a functioning, healthy society.
Yeah. And I love the mission. So going back to that, part of what I do is about helping accountants to support business owners. Because I think if we can help small business owners, we can divide the wealth, the economy's wealth, more evenly and more fairly. And we will get a bigger piece of the pie. So I want to help small businesses flourish. And I can't see a better way of doing that than helping accountants to do so.
Yes, and I would agree, and I would add there's oftentimes a functional void in a small business where they have their bookkeeper, they have their tax accountant that they may meet with once or twice a year, and the tax accountant oftentimes after the tax returns prepared tells them, you know, this is how you did this year,
historically.
And there could be this functional void where they didn't quite know how they were doing throughout the year. And so where I fit in is that functional void of controller and CFO, which kind of sits between the bookkeeper and the tax accountant, and really seek to augment the value delivery of these tax accounting firms as a tactical partner in implementing their their strategies and recommendations throughout the year in a very, you know, day-to-day manner. And I think that's tax accounting firms can, you know, if they could expand into that space or partner with other fractional CFOs to do that, they're going to come out looking like superstars.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the, where the value is at the moment. I think the talk of the town in the UK is advisory services, but I think people kind of misinterpret what advisory services is. It's just making sure that your customer or your clients understand the information and what they can do with the information.
Yeah.
So to have someone like you support their customers, that must be a really valuable add-on.
It is, and I find that it's a foreign concept to a lot of my potential customers when I have conversations with them. Mm. A lot of times the conversation is like, I have a bookkeeper, I have a tax accountant, why do I need you?
Yeah.
And it's almost like they don't know what they don't know. And so there's this gracious process of explaining to them, well, you know, who's walking alongside you during the year? Mm. Who's increasing your financial literacy so that you can make decisions independently and get more strategic in your thinking rather than what account do I book this expense in?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is something I don't do. I don't do any of it. I just hand it all to somebody else. If they mm-hmm. ask me for information, I'm there.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, so you've not always been in this industry though. You've come from an engineering background and you were working on Boeing. So
yeah,
why have you transitioned?
You know, when I was coming out of high school, when I was going into college, I never thought in a million years I would end up in accounting and finance. And it you know, it kind of seemed.
You didn't dream of it as a 6-year-old.
No, wasn't on the list. I was more dreaming about being like, you know, a fighter pilot or something like that. Grew up loving aviation.
Really cool.
Yeah, cool. Well. Well, we'll circle back to that why accountants are sexy thing here in a bit. But, you know, I grew up loving aviation, went to school for aerospace engineering, you know, long journey of just God's grace towards me, was a high school flunky, but somehow managed to graduate from aerospace engineering from Penn State, went to work for Boeing for 9 years, was restless there. And my wife can attest to this, and I didn't quite know why until I started reading the Robert Kiyosaki books, and he really put the framework in for, like, there are people who are wired as employees, as self-employed, as business owners, and as investors. Mm-hmm. And I really discovered through reading those books, like, I'm wired to be, like, the business owner and investor type. I'm innovative, I'm entrepreneurial, and in the group that I was in within Boeing wasn't a very entrepreneurial or innovative group. It was on an aircraft that was, you know, being manufactured for 40 years. It was really about, you know, turning the crank and out comes the sausage and just keep turning the crank. Your ideas are cute, but just keep turning the crank. And so I was naturally restless in that environment. And just started studying accounting and finance and real estate. And I began pursuing the Chartered Financial Analyst designation, passed the level one CFA, and my beautiful second child was born. And, you know, working full time. My wife was working full time. And I told my wife, you know, when I started the CFA thing, that if the family, a family, you know, duty called, I would pause it. And, she raised her hand and, you know, understandably so, raising, two infants and, you know, me just disappearing for 6 hours a day was quite difficult, for her. So I paused it, but the body of knowledge I learned paired with my engineering mind, my analytical problem solving mind, it really gives me a unique approach to, understanding business is how they create value and how to report that in a way that is most useful to owners and executives in managing their business.
I think that's often overlooked. Reporting it in a way that's received is the key to any data. So not just providing reports, standard reports, standardized across the board to everybody. It's about presenting it in a way. So do you go over and above with that, or how do you handle different people at the top?
I do. I always create one of the things that, you know, I think accounting firms can separate themselves from other accounting firms is really in the care that they take in customizing the chart of accounts such that the financial reports are most relevant. The worst thing you can do is just use the default set of accounts that, you know, QuickBooks or Xero throws out without customizing it to be relevant to the business model. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing we do. And then building a financial dashboard that provides that high-level, concise, actionable data that where the business owners and executives, they don't need to get mired in the transactional level details, but what they need to know is what have the financial results of operations been? And, you know, how have the decisions I made in the past resulted in the financial results we are looking at today on these reports? And what course corrections do we need to make so that we hit our, you know, 1, 3, 5 year goals? And really there's a huge educational piece. Dashboards and reporting is what I call financial intelligence. It's that concise high level data. And then there's this other part, financial literacy, where owners are all over the place on that. You know, some from starting from zero and really just graciously approaching them, because a lot of times they're either, you know, they're embarrassed to say what they don't know or understand, and they can just nod and say, but really just giving them a safe place to say, I don't understand that. Can you explain this? And getting them to the point where they can take in that financial reporting independently, and our conversations can really shift more towards strategy. And what do you want the future to look like? And how do we break those down into to budgets and goals that we can work towards every quarter? And so education is a huge part of it.
And when you say a financial dashboard, what does that mean to you? Because it could be super complicated. It could be using loads of software. It could be an Excel spreadsheet, or it could just be like on the back of a fag packet. So what does that mean to you?
Yeah. So for me, it's Google Sheets. And I come from an Excel background. I loved Excel, swore by Excel. But I found that Google Sheets is
superior.
Easier in interfacing with the outside world. Like there's a million APIs to a million different other software platforms. And I use a software called Geocon, which is just phenomenal in bringing in data from very popular accounting platforms, bring it into Google Sheets. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you can adjust it, manipulate it, and do financial analysis on it, report it, visualize it any which way you want. So for me, the dashboard needs to provide what I call financial situational awareness. And if you have financial situational awareness, you can answer 4 questions. Where have I been financially? Where am I at? Where do I want to go? And where am I heading? And so the dashboard includes data that does all of that, where we're doing budget to actuals for the current fiscal year. We're showing that in both a tabular form and also a graphical form, like with charts and lines and colors and things that, it's because everybody's brain receives data differently. We have charts that show the budget. We have charts that show the actual, and then we have projections where projections are based on a mathematical model of the operations and how the business actually generates income and expense, and et cetera. And we can project cash flows. And so, go ahead. Sorry, I'm rambling.
No, it's fine. So the work that you're doing and the dashboards and the information you're showing, this hasn't been shown to the people you're working with before. Is this new for them?
A lot of times, yes, because I'm targeting a lot of customers where they've outgrown their existing accounting team, where it might have been the mother-in-law who was bookkeeping, which was fine when they were at $1 million of revenue. But when they got up into $2, $3, $4 million of revenue and they started hiring people, all of this stuff is foreign to them. So yes, a lot of times this is the first time that they're seeing their financial results visualized and actually have a clue of why we can have a strong month of net income and we're still starving for cash.
Yeah.
And just understanding, like, how does that happen?
Yeah. Yeah, when you see the cash coming in and you see the invoices coming in, like, it's easy to get carried away. We've all been there.
Yeah, and you start spending, and I had a great month of sales, so I can afford to do this, that, or the other thing. Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in the balance sheet below net income that will surprise you. Mm.
So what kind of resistance, or do you experience resistance then? Because it sounds like you are providing information that is going to open their eyes. And are they all receptive to seeing this factual information, or are you met with resistance?
I think the resistance is really related to the learning curve, because while I try to make the dashboard as simple and high level as possible, it does have terms like, gross profit, net income, gross profit margin, net profit margin. And like, I think the most friction I've run into is just understanding where the customer is at, and how they learn and how they receive data, and how to communicate with them in a way where they don't feel embarrassed or anything. And it's just bringing them up to a level of literacy where they can understand the data that I'm presenting, because the data it's very concise. It's very powerful. It tells you a lot of different things, but like, to be able to unpack that to them so they can comprehend it on their own. That's really been where I haven't had any resistance where people are like, well, that's not right, because I know da da da. Well, I mean, sometimes they say like, hey, something looks off there, and like, sometimes we find an issue. But generally the resistance is just bringing them up the learning curve and not overwhelming them with unnecessary details and KPIs.
Yeah. So that's something else that I want to lean into a little bit. You help them with goal setting. And goal setting is not easy. It's not always easy. I find that a lot of people set arbitrary goals and they're almost meaningless. They're just numbers. So how do you go about your goal setting process?
A lot of times with small business owners, I'll start with, their personal goals. What kind of after-tax income are you looking for in the next 1, 3, 5 years, and understanding what kind of sales or revenue is going to be required to generate that. But then along with that, as you scale, there's going to have to be investments in the business, which are balance sheet activities and then there's going to be increased expense as you scale. Generally, businesses have some variable aspects of overhead costs. And so building that out, and it really comes down to, like, once you get their after-tax financial goals and then modeling the business and kind of working your way backwards up to, all right, what do we need? What's the sales need to be in this, this coming year, the next year, and the following year? And it's really kind of like a reverse engineering of getting back to top line sales. And also maintaining, increasing, you're going to have to increase your cash retention as you grow, because as you grow, the numbers get bigger. You want to have more cash reserves, and just making sure that we're retaining cash as we grow.
I'm not sure about the differences in UK and American accounting. Do you know what they are?
I do not know the specific differences, say, between British tax law and American tax law, though I know that, internationally, there's a lot of similarities with the graduated, tax rates, where the more you make, the higher the rate is, and there's deductions. And so I know there's similarities, but I certainly couldn't speak to the exact differences between US and British tax law.
Mm. Yeah, it's different. I speak to some accountants over in the US, and I know that we've got different filing times and different kind of tax laws around it. But I suppose what I'm trying to get to is that even though the accounting processes might be different and the accounting laws might be different, the theory behind that to help small businesses or larger businesses is going to be the same fundamentally, isn't it?
Yes, like along the lines of the similarities. And then as far as like when you're trying to work your way from after-tax income, you inevitably do need to work with some of the specific, you know, numerical thresholds mm-hmm. where certain deductions become available. So that goes back to where, you know, I'm a tactical partner with the CPA, and the CPA, you know, it's really like my role as a fractional CFO is really being a liaison for the owner with the other professional services involved in running their business, the tax accountant being a very big one. Mm-hmm. And making sure that when I model the business and create these budgets that, I'm following U.S. tax code so that these things will actually come about, that we won't just create this visionary budget to accomplish something. But then when tax time comes, accountants like, yeah, I don't know where you got that, but that's not how it works. That's what we don't want to happen. So it's very, there's a lot of communication with the tax accountant as we build budgets and make sure that the after tax goals are going to actually happen if, you know, we follow the budget.
You work with larger businesses mainly. So is there a difference between the small information you would provide to a smaller company and the information you'd provide to a larger business?
Well, I typically target smaller business. Most of my customers are on the, you know, anywhere from the 1 to 10 million, 10 million on the high end, but kind of the bell curve is like 1 to 5 million in revenue. But the principles and concepts are the same, whether you're dealing with a small business or a medium-sized business. However, the tax, you know, tax code can be different, you know, depending on the numbers involved, types of investments and tax credits that are available. So there can be some differences, but the principles are the same. And a lot of it just comes about cash management, making sure you're retaining enough cash, making sure that you're continuing to invest in the business to support the growth that you're planning for.
And the you mentioned that you work with early stage businesses and startups as well?
I have worked with startups. It's definitely a group of people that I want to continue to work with. I work with people in the trades. So, you know, whether it's construction, excavating, real estate development, also have a few private equity customers, real estate developers. And so pretty well rounded. And I love the diversity that is available to the fractional CFO. I know some fractional CFOs like to zero in on a niche. Nothing wrong with that. That's great. But I, you know, I guess I just love to learn and, you know, learning new business models, especially, you know, with like the innovative startup who's trying to bring a new product or service to market and, coming alongside them and taking their vision, their business plan and breaking that down into a financial plan and creating a pro forma for that and making sure that they don't get out over their skis on spending money and running out of cash and having to go back to their investors and be like, oh, sorry, that went a lot faster than I thought. So that's an aspect of what I do.
The money always goes faster than I thought.
Yes, it's super easy to spend, very difficult to earn.
Yeah. So with your clients, then what kind of results happen? What kind of outcomes happen as the result of having better financial information and education?
They can make decisions more confidently, specifically for growing businesses of, can I afford that next employee? Mm. Can I afford that next, you know, truck and trailer for my construction business? Even, you know, understanding what kind of dividends is my company going to be able to pay me this year? And what's my resulting tax burden going to be if I pay myself those dividends? And for in the U.S., you know, when does it make sense to transition from an LLC to an S corp? When does that make sense from a tax after tax perspective? Mm-hmm. And so, it's really a shift from being reactive as a small business owner to being proactive and being able to start thinking about the future and looking forward rather than looking backwards and being like, wow, that was a mess. I wish I would have known X, Y, and Z before I went through that. Mm-hmm. Well, now we can shift to being more strategic. And that's really the value of a fractional CFO isn't all of the financial reporting and the dashboard. I think AI is going to make that a commodity here in the next 10 years. It's really about the financial insight and enabling owners to transition from being reactive to proactive and planning their growth.
So you, there's something else I want to get to, and I'm quite conscious of time. One of your, or part of your mission is to help others overcome their financial blindness. And this is linked to a personal story as well. So would you like to explain that for me?
Yeah, so I in college, I discovered that I won the genetic lottery with my parents, where both of them carried a gene defect. And when they had me, those two defects met and resulted in a condition called retinitis pigmentosa, which is not super common, but not really rare. Mm-hmm. I think there's a fair amount of people. I think it's like 1 in 4,000. But I've lost most of my peripheral vision and my night vision. Thank God I still have my central vision where I can, you know, use a computer and see people and faces and read things. So it's been a walk of faith, just, you know, depending on God for everything. It's something that it sweeps a lot of distractions off the table. You're going blind, and it really makes you focus on what do I want my life to result in? What do I want my legacy to be? What am I looking to accomplish while I'm here, and making sure that I make the most of the time? So it's really been, it's had a focusing effect, though it's been frustrating because I grew up wanting to be a pilot. Not too many blind pilots around.
I don't know of any, actually.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you don't. I don't think they slip through the cracks. There's something about that annual medical that catches that.
That's a shame. So you're, I think I love the way that you've tied it in, the financial blindness and the fact that you've had to refocus and like it's made your, it's enabled you, not made you, but it's enabled you to see things more clearly in a abstract kind of way. How important do you think bringing in your personal life is to your business mission?
My business, why I do my business is very personal. It's very much about, you know, my life values translating into my business values, where I value life, family, faith, freedom, and country. And I think, the business is a great opportunity to live those things out. Yeah. And we want to work with customers who share those values and who are doing things that enhance life for people and make their lives better, and also you know, protect people's rights to make decisions for themselves and choose how they want to spend their income, give people freedom to succeed and freedom to fail.
Yeah, I think this is leading on very nicely to my ultimate question. Mm-hmm. What is it that's sexy about accountants?
Well, I've been thinking about this one for a while, and I think accountants are sexy because they are so influential. So the reason they're influential in the success of a society is they help business owners, taxpayers, to pay what they owe and not more than that, so that they have as much of their earnings left over to do the things that, you know, God wired them to do, and be generous with their community and invest in their future, as well as keep them out of trouble with the taxing authority. That can ruin your day. And on the other side of that is making sure that people are paying what they're lawfully required to pay to finance the activities of government. And of course, it's the people's responsibility to make sure that those are legitimate activities of the government. But the government needs funds to do what it does. And so accountants are extremely influential into in a well-running society. That's my kind of philosophical view of accounting and how powerful and influential it is.
Yeah. It's funny because no one's ever come onto this program and said the sexiest thing about accountants is how transactional they are. Like it's so accountants are so much more than the work that they do. It's the impact that it has on the world. And that's what this show is all about. So thank you for coming on and backing me up in this mission. I appreciate that.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Kelly.
No worries. So I'm going to point people in your direction so they can get in touch with you, follow you, and just find out a bit more about what you're about and what you're up to. So is LinkedIn a good place for this?
Yeah, LinkedIn. You can look up Ben Risser on LinkedIn. It's just LinkedIn/Ben Risser. And then also my website, providentfinancialservicesltd.com.
Beautiful. Well, I will link to both of those. So wherever you're listening to this podcast, there will be links to those. So go and look Ben up, connect with him, find out what's going on across the pond. And all there is to say is thank you very much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Kelly.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. We've got a ton more guests already lined up and I can't wait to share that with you. Please also remember to check out our sponsor, Charterpath. They're bridging the gap between financial skills and the nonprofit sector. And if you're looking at growing your practice and wondering what is the next step for you or how to do that, maybe you want to check out Accounting Pirates as well. We've got a treasure chest of support there that might be able to help you get to your next level.